ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like this is going to be an extra sexy episode today. You guys feeling that?
I'm stupid horny.
Woo!
Man. Stupid horny.
I tell you, if I had some Barry White right now, put that shit on in the background. Whew, man. So,
feeling it.
Without further ado, pop open some wine, take off those pants, and sit back for episode 27 of the 51 Yard Line. As always, I'm one of your extremely attractive hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, Chris Evans' doppelganger, Drew Willers.
It was fun while it lasted, Twins fans, but I think it's over.
Pour one out.
To my other left, the prettiest man in Massachusetts, Christian Schneider.
For a minute, a second. Happy birthday, Tom. This is for you. That's how I feel about that.
I hope they were able to hear that. And finally, to my third left, Gianna Michaels wants him. Ron Jeremy wants to be him. The one, the only, Stephen A. Cravens.
I'm at a loss for words right now.
God, what a blur. That's on the back of his book right there.
Man, that's good. Yeah, that's what's going to be like my beginning of my... forward to your first memoir,
your
Steve.
Autobiography.
Fucking sick.
Well, in all seriousness,
and I got the photo too. We could have it on the back jacket. Too bad you guys can't see it because it's worth looking at.
I kind of feel like I should change the album art on iTunes to that for one episode, but I feel like we'd get flagged and then...
We'd probably be getting a little bit of trouble for
or
that.
Our viewership would explode.
Or it would spike. For context, because this is an audio podcast, Steve's background is a picture of him in a not very clothed Gianna Michaels. And by not very clothed, I mean not clothed.
Not
at
clothed.
All.
Unclothed.
Ask and you shall receive.
Pay money and you shall receive.
Yeah, well, I still asked.
Pay money and ask and you'll definitely receive.
Yeah, wow. If I hadn't asked, I wouldn't have found out. Anyway.
I'm sorry about the first 2.5 minutes of this episode.
Can't wait to blow that shit up and frame it.
You're going to be a great father.
Oh, God.
I'm not getting rid of that shit. put it in my baby's room.
Son, this is the day I met Gianna Michaels.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Well, it's been a great show, guys.
So, yeah, football's almost here.
It is almost here.
Oh, no, we're done. That was it.
All right, well.
That was the episode.
Awesome. Guys, as always, follow us. No, I'm just kidding.
You're welcome.
All right, so in all seriousness, we do have a great episode for you guys tonight. Let's kick it off with a little love for the old females.
Yes.
Let's talk about some Ronda Rousey. Yes.
Ronda!
Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Ronda! Steve's new woman crush.
Yeah.
Did you buy that ring like you said you were going to?
Yeah, I did actually. I got the cheapest one there.
From Tiffany's? Yeah. So you still paid like 10 grand?
10 grand, yeah.
I was saying, cheaper than Tiffany's, you're really not skimping there.
Yeah, man, when you got like 3 security guards you got to get through to get to the store, that's when you know, hey guys, no alligator arms, you got to reach the wallet. But yeah, man, no, that's, I mean, but... Hold on, for her opponent, was it 34 seconds or 35
30
seconds?
34 seconds.
Well, that's the longest one yet.
About
which means
as long
you lasted
as you
twice
last
as long
set.
As
yeah,
the
I
mean, last
I,
one.
I wouldn't last 34 seconds either.
Oh, they asked Shaq. Well, they
asked. Well played. Touche, senor.
I don't know. I know this isn't quite what you meant when you just said that, Steve, but Shaq actually, I guess, in his postseason career has taken to studying and, I guess, performing. I guess practicing jiu-jitsu as a way to keep himself in shape.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaq has.
Well, it hasn't worked.
It's not working.
Well, obviously, I think he still goes ham on the old quarter pounders with cheese. But they asked him how long they thought he would last in the ring with Ronda Rousey, and his response was, as long as she'd let me. Because she'd crush me. She'd absolutely crush me. And I think...
She'd judo throw him right out of
the ring. Oh, absolutely. Well, and it's just gotten to the point now where... I mean, Christian, you said it before the show. It's an excellent analogy. I know very little about fighting. I know probably even less about boxing. But Tyson in the 80s.
Yep.
I mean, she's just absolutely dominating, which brings me to my next point. I think she now is deserving of being in the conversation for being one of the best athletes ever.
No
of
question.
All time.
No question.
I mean, because she is dominating. I mean, she is like Tiger Woods when he went on, what was his consecutive streak of majors that he won in a row?
I can't remember. Yeah, he was just like, no one
or
can
like
touch him.
Or like Jordan in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, she is that elite. She is absolutely crushing her competition. And, all right, this may not be super politically correct. I don't feel this way. But how much of a bonus it is. Like, do you guys think... And this isn't how necessarily I feel, but do you guys think it would be as a big deal if she wasn't at least in eight? Like, it is kind of cool. No, but here's what I'm saying. Most guys would not give an S if she looked like, you know, Quasimodo. Nobody would care at all, I don't think, if she was dominating her sport.
I think they would.
No. You think so?
I have to respectfully disagree.
You think so? I think the fact that she is super, super sexy as well, and she's on the cover of magazines, because stereotypically speaking, we don't feel this way, but stereotypically speaking, pretty girls aren't supposed to be mashing on people like this.
Right. Well,
so it captures the casual fans' attention much more than it would a diehard MMAer.
I can agree with that. It captures the more casual fan
because she's becoming a global icon.
Movie deals and all that.
But absolutely. I would say in the world of sports, she would be just as revered regardless of her looks.
Oh yeah.
She'd still be on the Sports Illustrated cover. She'd still be
absolutely. I'm just saying. I guess should have clarified. I mean, just as like global recognition. Okay. And her overall essence and brand is, I mean, like...
Yes, I agree from the standpoint that we're the United States and we put a lot of emphasis on looks.
Absolutely.
I in no way think it's right that she should be any less popular regardless of how she
Not
looks.
At all.
I would hope that any MMA fighter or any female athlete would be just as popular and just as revered as they are regardless of looks. Take looks out of the equation. Like the point is how dominant she is as an athlete.
No question. Look, we all feel that way. There's no question. But I think, Drew, you're onto something
mm-hmm,
there. Because,
he is.
Yeah, it, you're right. We got red-blooded males running, you know,
media.
Broadcasting and advertising and all that stuff. Let's talk about women's soccer. Think about this. There's no accident that the first women's superstar in soccer was Mia Hamm and not Michelle Akers. You know, Michelle Akers was a dominant soccer player
really
for a whole decade before Mia Hamm became aware of the public conscience. But it was Mia Hamm who blew it up because she's good on the eyes, period. And
wow,
no,
that's
I'm not
really interesting. I'm not taking
a single thing away from Mia Hamm's ability.
Nope.
She's the all-time greatest women's soccer player, second in scoring,
absolutely.
First all-time in assists. No one can deny she's a stud. But she became a star because they wanted to put her on camera. She got a bunch of advertisement deals. And Michelle Akers was the woman for years before that. But because she's got, you know, the crazy hair and all that stuff, she didn't try to make herself into a sex symbol. She didn't get sold on it. Ronda Rousey is the Mia Hamm of UFC. She's building that league's reputation and making it bankable because not only is she far and away the best women's fighter in the world,
yes, she's a dime.
She's both. Yeah. She's both. So she also is marketable. There's a difference between marketable and, you know, actually dominant. Anna Kournikova got in a lot of ads. She didn't win any titles.
She was not a very good tennis player.
She was a terrible tennis player. She won it like doubles once.
Right.
But She became a superstar, and she helped sell the sport of women's tennis in a big-time, equal-pay way.
And you talk about selling the sport. I don't give really that much of a shit about MMA fighting, and I apologize to our viewers that are very passionate about it. all six of you, again, thank you so much for listening.
Bless
really
your heart.
Wait, you mean all six of our viewers? We have viewers?
Viewers is true. Audio, podcast, see, I'm geared more towards the whole television being in front of camera thing, so I apologize for that. I'm also probably still drunk from last night. But,
well,
that being said...
You're also drinking right now.
I am. This is...
Hair of the dog,
your fault,
it's
but it's what I do.
It's always my fault.
But in either case, Ronda Rousey makes me care. Like, I actually go into my Bleacher Report app, and I look at update. Like, I actually was genuinely, you know, interested in finding out what the result of this last UFC
mm-hmm.
was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I dialed into it, and I kept getting updates on my phone. course, the update was all of, like, what, you know, the fight started, well, then the fight ended. I got one update. She kicked that ass. And
I was going to say, if it started buffering, you'd have missed the whole fight.
And it's always so fun. You got to love it when someone talks so much shit and just gets crushed.
And it wasn't just talking shit. Like,
I mean, it was low blows, man.
Yeah,
it was definitely below the belt.
For those of you guys listening who aren't aware, Correa said to Rousey, you know, don't kill yourself after this fight. And Ronda Rousey's father committed suicide. And the UFC president himself came out and said Correa definitely knew what she was talking about. Her camp tried to deny it, but it was like he had a conversation with her camp that made it clear she knew what she was doing. And Rousey,
that was fucked up.
That's super messed up.
I've never heard anything like that.
If the coffin wasn't nailed before that, the coffin was nailed at that moment. And she was
And Rousey said before the fight, this is as personal as it's ever been for me. She went out there, she whooped her, and then, you know, going back to the weigh-in where Correa got in her fate and he was like, don't cry, don't cry. Rousey whooped her and then turned back and said, don't cry, as they picked her off the canvas. So don't open your mouth about the best.
Absolutely.
To quote Richard Sherman.
Get shot.
Yeah, absolutely. No, she absolutely just buried her. I mean, just her down.
I'm not an expert on UFC. Like, I don't like. Sometimes they'll do
she
make
just
moves.
She looked overmatched,
but I could tell that she was killing her from the first blow. It was,
Rousey
like,
didn't
wow.
even play her game,
which
she
is
won,
submission.
She went out and beat Correa at her own game. Correa is a striker. Like, she goes in on her opponents and just pummels them. And Rousey went out and just beat the ever-loving shit out of her.
It's like the equivalent of, like, Mayweather going on the offensive in the first round. Just like, you know what? Screw this. I want to beat this person.
I'm
going to
put him away quick.
Just absolutely, like, it was hard to watch almost because
she didn't give a shit.
Just nasty.
No.
Well, here's a question. Do you guys think that what she's done for, you know, female fighting, UFC, I'm not familiar with any of this, but from a football perspective, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, with their good looks, would you say they've attracted a lot more female viewers to the sport because of their good looks?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that equivalent. Growing up in Maine, I can tell you Brady attracted a lot of female viewers.
I mean, I know that there are incredibly, incredibly sports savvy female listeners that we have that know the sport. But the amount of times, and we've all heard it, guys, like where we've been at a party in a group watching a game and Brady's on the tube or Rodgers is on the tube. Oh my God, he's so hot. Look at those eyes.
He's so dreamy.
And we promise we're not generalizing. We're
and
speaking
to be fair,
from actual
oh, no,
interaction.
To be fair, those
and
are
they
not
don't
really
know,
sports fans. No, those are just people who wouldn't normally watch the sport, period.
Exactly.
And we're not disrespecting, you know, the regular sports
fans. To go off Steve's point, prior to Ronda Rousey, I don't think I ever would have thought ever about watching UFC. I couldn't watch it because I was at work, but had I been near a TV or had I been home and had nothing going on, I probably would have watched it.
Agreed.
You know, and that's what I think he's saying, attracting casual fans that wouldn't otherwise be there.
Right.
I think she absolutely does it. She does
no
it
question.
For me.
No question.
It's like a household name, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, she's very, very good for the
sport. And it's not only that she's attractive, but she dominates heartlessly. There is nobody on the planet right now that's better than her at what she does.
And I'm definitely still not an expert on UFC and MMA, but I have spent a lot of time the past few months, like, learning about the sport and just like where the sport is at, and Rousey is single-handedly saving women's UFC, women's MMA in general, because it's just not that interesting, and it's not because they're women, it's because the fights just aren't good. There's really no one even where close to as skilled as Rousey, and to have any kind of sport that really resonates with people, you've got to have multiple superstars. You can't just have one superstar dominating the sport day in and day out, where it's to the point where people know that they'd be wasting their money to buy it on pay-per-view, because it's gonna take 190 minutes to get to the fucking main event. And then that main event is going to last 30 seconds.
Right. Rousey's last three fights, for those who don't know, have added up to a total of 1 minute and 4 seconds. Imagine how much money you're shelling out for
1 minute and four
that.
Seconds isn't even one round.
No, not like, even
it's
close.
Just, it's I mean, absurd.
At this point, her training has got to be way more strenuous than any sort of adversity that she's ever had to face.
Oh, there is no question.
Oh, yeah.
No
her sparring's got to take more hours.
Absolutely.
And there's arguments, and to a degree, I agree, but also I kind of disagree. It's Rousey is actually both single-handedly helping and hindering the sport because she's helping it by being
dominant,
a very vocal, a very well-liked, dominant superstar, but she's also not really bringing in that many new fans because no one wants to sit there for 3 hours of a UFC bout to get to a main event where she wins in 15, 20, 30 seconds.
Right.
That's not what people want to see.
Right. I mean, I know I read an article a couple days ago that was just like this new fighter from the higher I think bantamweight division, Cyborg, is apparently cutting weight to fight her because they think she might have a shot. But that's
Cyborg, no.
But that's
the
what
thing
about
it is, Cyborg won't cut weight.
Yeah, that's the, yeah.
She expects Rousey to
pack
up
on.
Her weight
yeah.
to come and fight her, and...
Which is just pear-shaped. Like,
no,
she's not going to make allowances. She's Ronda Rousey. She's the face
no.
of the sport. You wouldn't ask
Cyborg,
Michael Jordan to
Cyborg
play center in a one-on-one game.
For the last probably 2 years, Cyborg has talked a lot of shit about how she could kick Ronda Rousey's ass. Mm. But everyone says that she's on some kind of performance-enhancing drug, probably HGH. Two, she won't cut weight to come down to Rousey, which cutting a few pounds is way easier than Rousey going up almost 30 pounds to get into Cyborg's weight class.
Crazy.
Cyborg would still get her ass kicked, and she knows that, and that's why she won't cut the weight to come down and fight her.
She's also called Cyborg, which makes me not like her.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
sounds like
I
a
just,
Star Trek
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it's just not... That's not
she's
cool.
also just kind of a punk. Like, she's very not well... She's not well-liked
no.
in the MMA community.
Right.
She talks a lot of shit and doesn't back it up. She would get her ass beat by Rousey. Right. It'd be over... I don't think it would even last a minute.
In any sport ever, any sport, when you got someone just jacking, yawn, just going off, yammering, and then they get their asses kicked... There's nothing better. There's nothing. There is nothing better than
especially
that.
Especially when you make it personal.
It's
right.
If you make it personal, you deserve to get the shit kicked out of you.
I love watching that. I so love watching that. It makes me so happy. But it's been, I mean, hell, it's been a really good 2 months in general for women in professional
yeah.
athletics.
Yes, it has.
And speaking of that, let's go ahead and move on. We spent plenty of time on this. Let's talk a little about
way more time than the actual fight. We spent like 20 times.
I was going to say, yeah. It took us more,
but yeah,
more time to
yeah.
talk about the fight than it actually had.
Very true.
So.
Very true.
Dominate.
Let's move on to another interesting female subject. The Arizona Cardinals have hired Jen Welter as she's a defensive line coach during training camp.
She's like, yeah, she's... Basically, the way it was described to me, it's a lot like being an intern.
Yeah.
She's basically an intern coach at training camp
yes.
for the Arizona Cardinals.
I want that job.
Right? That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds like a great gig.
I didn't know those jobs existed.
Yeah. She's the first female ever to hold a position like that in the NFL.
First female to ever hold a position on an NFL coaching staff. A little about her, she's a 37-year-old. She spent the last few years coaching, I believe, in the Arena Leagues.
Yep, she is.
She was the first female to ever play in any kind of men's professional football league. She spent 14 years She spent 14 years as a linebacker in various women's leagues and then men's leagues. one of the first female, I think the first female coach in any men's professional league also, and now she's become the first female coach in any capacity at an NFL level. So she's been breaking barriers for the past decade, which is absolutely amazing.
Which is cool, because when they asked her about it, she said, I never dreamed that this was possible. Regardless of all that barrier breaking, she was like, I still didn't think this was ever going to happen. But at the end of the day, the NFL is king. Out of all the major sports in the world, or I can't say the world, soccer is worldwide the most popular sport. But in the United States, mainstream media, the NFL is king. Everybody loves football. Everybody loves it. Not just men, women adore football as well. And there's chicks who know football, who know it very well, that are coaching it at a lot of different levels.
Right.
So to...
And
fine.
Playing at a lot
and also, and we're starting to see it more and more playing at yep. you know, at the high school level. I mean, obviously Pop Warner, but you know, high school level, working its way into the collegiate level as well. I don't, to my knowledge, I don't believe there's any D1 female players, but
I believe there was a kicker.
Oh, in Colorado.
A couple years ago. Yes.
She
yes.
got, oh, I remember yes. that, and there was allegations of sexual assault, wasn't there not?
Oh, God, I don't know about any of that. I have to do more research on that.
I remember hearing something vaguely on ESPN. But in either case, to see this is, well, one, Roger Goodell needs to pick up the phone and make a call to Bruce Arians. And I'm not saying Bruce Arians made this sort of move, or the Cardinals made this move for PR reasons.
Bruce Arians isn't the type. I know him well, obviously. He spent some time coaching for my Indianapolis Colts.
Absolutely.
Bruce Arians does not give two fucks about PR. He works with the people
he
believes.
Becky Hammon.
I was going to say, much along the lines that with Coach Pop and Becky Hammon, he just wants to surround his team with the best football minds to coach his team up and make them better players.
And you see it in press conferences and interviews. He's not the most charismatic guy when it comes to that kind of stuff because he doesn't give a fuck. He wants to be on that field or in his office coaching that team, making that team better. He doesn't give a shit about the politics or the PR. He's never been that type of coach. And, like, I know there's people out there who think that this is all just, like, some kind of PR stunt. Like, but Bruce Arians is just not that type of coach. He would not put up with that shit. If he didn't absolutely love what she had to say and how she... the knowledge that she has about the game of football, she would not be on the staff in any capacity, intern or not. She would not be on the staff. So,
he's also in a division where in the last 3 years, at least one team has represented the NFC in the NFC Championship game, and also in the last 3 years, four years, have been in the Super Bowl, because the Niners were in the Super Bowl in 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
So, he's in. You could make the argument that he is in the toughest division in his conference. So he doesn't have time to be, because he has not. He doesn't have time to be fucking around.
No.
And if you don't think he's not going to bring on anybody that he doesn't feel in any capacity, whether they're an assistant head coach, whether they're an athletic trainer, or. Like Welter is basically an intern assistant coach. He's not going to bring them on if he doesn't feel like they're going to make his team better. He's not going to waste this team's time with that. This team was on its way to a serious postseason run if it were not for the quarterback issues, I believe. Personally.
I agree.
So
I 100% agree.
This, in my mind, and as far as, I mean, I would hope with how shitty the PR has been in the NFL the past year, especially along the lines with child abuse and just domestic violence in general, I would hope no player would be so stupid as to say something ignorant. They haven't yet, and most of the players have said right off the bat, they don't care who this person is. Man, woman, race, creed, doesn't matter. If she can coach, she can coach. She belongs.
And, yeah, you would hope that no player even feels any sort of negative, like, feelings toward this. But even if they do on Bruce Arians' team and with the way the NFL has been the past year, they're probably smart enough to just keep their fucking mouth shut.
And,
as they should
absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely. And it's...
Because they know one little incident now, you're done.
No,
you're done.
Because everybody's watching. Yeah. And NFL locker rooms are... I mean, we're just now in this age starting to gain a little bit more traction and gain a little bit more knowledge on what exactly goes on in these types of locker rooms, which is why I think as far as if we were to compare sports, this is going to be a slower moving train than it will be in the NBA. I think...
Yes,
NBA.
You're right
I think
that.
I think the NBA is going to get its first female head coach far before we even remotely get a whiff of a female assistant in
I'm,
the NFL.
No I'm really thinking
question. It's
I'm
be
really
a long
thinking
time.
NFL is unbelievably chauvinist.
No, absolutely.
I'm really thinking 2016. Becky Hammond is a head coach.
I don't know if it's that soon. That would be.
If you get that right, good on you, man.
No, absolutely.
That seems
by
a little early
20,
to me, but
I,
it's not an impossibility.
I agree. I think it is. But
if she continues to wow like she has been the past year, I really think it's a good possibility.
Yeah, you don't think she could help the Sixers right now? I mean,
she could help a lot of teams.
I see absolutely no reason why I would not want her on the Wolves staff whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
As a team that hasn't made a postseason run. Or even gotten a whiff of the postseason since KG left. He's now back, I know. But since he left, I see no reason. If you think you can bring somebody at this point in Minnesota sports in general, if it gets us closer to a championship, I'll take it.
Cool.
I don't give a shit. I think she could have. I think Becky Hammond would be an excellent assistant.
As far as 2016, I mean, that might be a little early. I don't know, but... The NBA is a lot classier than the NFL.
No,
I mean the statement that we will see a female head coach in the NBA before the NFL.
And the only reason I say I make that prediction of 2016 is because I've read quite a few articles that teams are already inquiring about Becky Hammond.
Yeah. I definitely
and that's huge for teams to even be like. So what's going to be her status in a year from now? Like, is she up for a head coaching job? Like, what do you think? Like,
right.
people have taken notice and they are serious about at least entertaining the idea of making her a head coach in the NBA. And I just think that's absolutely fucking fantastic.
No, like, absolutely.
It should have happened sooner, but it's happening with the right person.
Right.
And she will be, if it's not next year or the year after or the year after. By next decade, she will be a head coach in the NBA.
I think it's coming. And I think the only thing at this point, the only argument that I feel like I could make to 2016 being a possibility is, A, how young she just is in general.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say, and
youth,
I do agree with that.
Her
youth
in general, I think that she just, I think
my only argument, counterpoint to that, is Brad Stevens.
No, and
still
but that's
a young guy.
Absolutely,
and
but Brad
years ago.
But Brad Stevens,
very true.
That is very true.
Even Frank Vogel, actually, he's not very old.
But Brad Stevens was working with, you know, Division I basketball. He's
absolutely.
Pro prospects
playing
against them, competing against them, working with them, molding them. I still think executives want to see a little bit more from him, and I would so I would say the youth standpoint. And just in general, I just think that before you're going to give the reins, and this is, you know, if you are running a front office and you're about to hand over the keys to the car to any coach of any gender, you want to make sure that they are absolutely ready.
Right.
And it does appear right now that she is ready. Which is why they're entertaining the idea of having, you know, conversations and interviews. I'm sure I wouldn't be shocked if she at least interviews for a few head coaching jobs in 2016. I just don't know if she's going to be handed the keys to the car just yet. I think she just needs... bottom line, though, we all said it. If she just keeps on the path that she's on, it's not going to be too long. She's eventually going to find herself on a sideline coaching
absolutely.
NBA team. As long as that's something she still wants. I mean, hell, maybe she likes where she's at and she just wants to stick it out with the Spurs. That's a good gig.
We don't know if Pop's going to be coaching that team in 3 years.
Wouldn't that be something that if she ended up being his predecessor?
Wow, that would be
The
amazing.
Thing about it is, like, the Players Tour youth is that all the old-timers will be gone, and there'll be a lot of young guys in there. So I think youth as a coach really helps you if the players on your team are a lot of fresh-faced players. I don't think her youth would – like, if she had the Spurs 2 years ago, you know, veterans don't – it doesn't matter of your gender. It matters of your experience and your know-how. They're not going to respond to a younger coach, I feel like. But if you have a younger
And you—that makes me think of an interesting point that I've been thinking about for quite a while. It's just we're finally getting to the point where the old timers are almost gone from major professional sports, be it coaches, owners, front office guys,
absolutely,
even down to sports writers. Like, excuse me, like. You never want anything. Obviously, you never want anything like negative to happen to any of these guys. But like, a lot of them are either moving on or passing away.
Yes, right.
For lack of, I mean, that's about as PC as I can be about it. But we're getting to the point where a new generation is starting to take over. It's
absolutely
not these old crotchety Donald Sterling, these old sports writers that have no interest in seeing how, especially like, let's say a game like baseball is changing. Like, you still got these guys that they never want to see any kind of like instant replay or
purists
or software that helps track pitching or anything like that. Like, they are all about these major sports purists who never want to see the game change in any way. And we're finally starting to really get away from that.
Absolutely.
And getting these more progressive, younger guys. And I think it's really helpful to all the major sports.
Yep.
Like, could you have ever imagined 10 years ago that we would be sitting around not only talking about possibly a woman head coach in the NBA at most maybe 3 years from now, but in any capacity, a woman on an NFL coaching staff?
No, wouldn't have.
Never.
Definitely no way.
You would have just, if you had ever even brought it up, you would have just gotten laughed in the face.
Absolutely.
Like,
I think the NFL needs it more than the NBA, man.
Oh, and, that,
so
and that's why
more.
I'm saying, like, I don't think it's a PR move, but Goodell should pick up the phone and be like, good on you, Bruce Arians.
Like, Goodell should pick up the phone and strangle himself with it.
Goodell should sit on the phone. I mean, it's
there's a lot of things
we'll
Goodell should do
later
with that phone. But the NFL needs it way more than the NBA. I'm sorry, the players in the NBA, coaches, they're a lot classier.
I mean,
than
no,
the NFL,
seriously,
man.
Ever since Malice at the Palace, NBA has been on a roll. They've done a very good job handling their stuff.
And Adam Silver's a classic.
Adam
dude.
Silver is the best thing to happen to that sport since David Stern's first 10 years.
But I'll tell you this. Even David Stern in his later years, I mean, he never
he
handled
lost
this,
his way a little bit.
But he
end.
Never went down
years.
The tubes as much as hockey or football. Not even close.
Fair. Yeah,
well,
fair.
Not even close.
But he was, in a different way, he was very, and this it brings me back to my my point just now. He was very opposed to a lot of new age philosophies for how to progress the sport of basketball.
For sure.
And that's why it was really time for him to go.
Right.
When it was time for him to go, like Adam Silver, he may not be the youngest dude in the world, but he grew up watching this game, watching the modern game as we know it, and he understands more what this game needs going forward.
Silver.
And how to handle these delicate situations. And I think Stern just got to the point where he just really didn't know how to handle it.
Right.
Based on, and a lot of it has to do with media coverage. Like, it got to a point where he didn't know how to handle.
Stern also, in the latter part of his tenure, I felt he enjoyed being the villain a little bit too much. He enjoyed being a little bit too stubborn. He was not willing to listen to his players. Silver seems far more receptive to feedback from his players because he seems to understand without these guys, they don't really have a league, which I feel like Goodell. I liked when Goodell came on and was playing, and we're getting way off topic, but I liked when Goodell came on and he was the disciplinarian. I mean, Because at that point, the NFL had gotten out of control with Pac-Man Jones and all that crap. And Goodell came in and laid the law down and straightened things back out. He has gotten so off base with his discipline and has become way more about the dollar sign than anything else.
Can we just get on that?
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
oh, sorry.
No, I just got Adam Silver. You know what I love about Adam Silver, though? It's like, well, I mean, last year he took over. I mean, I hadn't really seen too much of him. The Donald Sterling thing was a big thing, but he's a likable guy. You can tell that he cares about the integrity of the game. When he hands down punishments, which is rare, I mean, like, he's handed down punishments to owners or players or whatever. Seeing him at the draft, talk about the game, you can tell that this guy genuinely loves the game and genuinely cares about the players and the owners and wants to do what's best for the sport. Listen to him talk about, you know, what he could possibly do for the playoffs in the future with, you know, the leaders of each division not necessarily guaranteed a playoff spot based on your win-loss record. All this stuff, like, where he actually is thinking about the greater good of the game, what fans want to see, what we want to see done to players who have done something bad or owner. Like, I mean, he really cares. Goodell is just a scumbag, dude. I mean, he's just – I mean, think about it. He initially gave Ray Rice 2-game suspension. Yeah, you didn't see the footage. He knew that Ray Rice beat the shit out of his girlfriend. He knew that. Apparently, that is what both Ray Rice and his whatever name is told him. And he gave him a 2-game suspension. His poster boy, the guy who sells the most jerseys, all this stuff, the face of the NFL, pretty much, he gives a 4-game suspension for deflating a football. No. You don't know what the fuck you're
Steve,
doing.
We're sponsored by the NFL. You're suspended for 3 months.
And that's another thing. If you voice your criticism about it, you're either fined or suspended.
Okay, to be fair, that's on ESPN. That's not on the NFL.
But still, Roger Goodell himself, the punishments he's given out to certain players or whoever for whatever crime it is like 4-game suspension for what are you what are
okay,
you thinking?
Okay,
we got way off topic.
What I'm saying
let's
is that the NBA is a much more progressive, a much better organization than the NFL. Will ever be for years to come, in my opinion.
All right, well, sure. But let's bring it back to the positive here. The point is that what has happened in the past week with the Cardinals organization and with Jen Welter is one of the most progressive things that has ever happened, probably the most progressive thing that has ever happened in the National Football League. And
should be getting the press as such.
It's not
for whatever reason.
No,
it somewhat is, but it's also not as much as it should be. Not even as much as Becky Hammond, I would say.
We're too concerned over deflated footballs and, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that doesn't matter.
All right, we're going to get into that, but let's go ahead and move on. Let's segue into some 51 questions.
Yeah! Trivia!
Man, we have spent a long time talking this first half. So yeah, this is going to be an extra long episode. Just to prepare you listeners, because we're already at almost 40 minutes.
We already warned you that it was going to be extra sexy. So
well, it is extra sexy. I know that for sure.
Well, that's because of Ronda Rousey. No,
oh, she's so hot. I would let her put me in an armbar.
317-353-7543. Ronda, holla at me.
He did it.
Oh, God.
Actually, you know, Tyler asked me if I want to talk about anything earlier, and I forgot, but mentioning Shaq and Ronda kind of remind me. I wanted to ask you guys' opinion about Shaq blasting Scottie Pippen, just totally shotgun blasting the fuck out of him. Just ridiculous. I want to ask you guys that later.
Okay, we can get into that later. All right, guys. So if you remember last week, I didn't have a question prepared, so I said this week I would do 2 questions. For those of you who don't remember, Christian over here is in the lead by 1.
Top of the premiership.
Steve and Drew are tied.
Hell yeah.
So, I've got an easy question, and I've got a hard question. Which
I'll
one do you guys,
decide
want,
which one
do you guys want first?
Hard question.
All right, guys. How long are PGA Tour players allowed per shot?
Golf. Good deal.
How long are PGA Tour players allowed per shot? Is it A, 45 seconds, B, 25 seconds, C, 1 minute, or D, 2 minutes?
Or E, who gives a shit?
Okay, when you say per shot, I mean, this is I assume this is when you found your ball and your caddy's given you your club, right? This isn't like...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. It's when it's your turn to shoot and you're at your ball.
Gotcha.
How many seconds do you have to take your shot?
Yeah.
And D was 2 minutes, right?
Yes, sir. Lock your answers in, gentlemen. Lock your answers in.
Answers locked in.
Steve?
I'm writing it right now.
All right. So there's not a lot of dead air. Drew, let me see.
Kabang.
Drew picked C, 1 minute. Christian also picked C, 1 minute. Steve Cravens went D, 2 minutes. Drew, Christian, you're wrong.
I had a feeling.
It's A, 45 seconds. You're also wrong, Steve.
Mm. Oh, it's 45?
It's 45 seconds.
I just was like trying to think like how
this is another
long.
Reason why I hate golf. It's like, let's give him 45 seconds. Like,
I feel like we
minute.
Just talked about how you were going to start playing golf with me.
Yeah, you're a bitch, bro.
Maybe he did. I love playing golf. I don't like to watch golf.
I was going
to
say, maybe that's what he means. Maybe yeah,
walking around carrying your
yeah.
own bag,
not
by the way.
Time.
Sissies.
We're going to take carts, fool. We're not walking.
I was going to say, my old man made me walk. I mean, up until recently
right.
when we both...
All right, let's get the easy question.
But yeah, easy question.
Easy question. Okay. So, no one got that one right.
Yes!
The question is still in the lead.
Damn it.
How big is Steve Craven's penis?
Is it A, 1 inch, B, 2 inches,
shorter.
C, 2.1 inches, or D, 2.3 inches?
A. There's not 1.7 centimeters, so...
Depends on who I'm looking at.
I believe the answer is A,
depends on the room temperature.
Yeah, it really does.
Brutal.
All right, anyway, what is it?
Can't believe my mom's going to listen to this episode.
Anywho!
All right, second question. Who was the first heavyweight boxer to go undefeated throughout his career?
Oh, God.
First heavyweight boxer to go undefeated throughout his career.
Okay.
Thought this was
Hi, Percy. Easy. What's up, buddy? Come here.
The cat has returned.
Hey, buddy. The prodigal son has returned.
He has.
Is it A, Lee Epperson, B, Larry Holmes, C, Rocky Marciano, or D, Michael Spinks?
I'm only going with the name that I know. I don't. There's only one of those guys I'm familiar with. And the only reason why I'm familiar with him is because I watch Entourage.
Lock your answers in, gentlemen. Lock your answers in. Drew picked Rocky Marciano.
It's the only dude I know.
Christian picked Rocky Marciano. Steve Cravens.
Just to be different.
Picked Michael Spinks. Christian, you're still in the lead. Drew, you've taken over second place because the answer is Rocky Marciano.
You just had to be an individual, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah.
And the only reason that question was easy, at least to me, is because Rocky Marciano and Larry Holmes are the only two names I figured you guys would know.
Right. I know that Larry Holmes lost.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I was going to say the only dude I knew was Rocky Marciano.
If you pulled out some dude from like the 20s, like, screw you.
And the reason why I knew it is because in, that is... Very well.
I knew
well,
Marciano
yeah,
was undefeated.
Yeah. Turtle from Entourage, whenever he's playing
yes.
Knockout,
exactly.
Whatever it was
right,
on
right,
that, like,
there
he
it
always
is.
Fights as Rocky Marciano.
Fight
yeah, that's the only one that I knew. So.
Well, guys, Christian, you are still in the lead. Drew, you have taken sole second place.
Ah, yeah!
Coming Steve, you're it. Right behind in third place, only down by 1 point.
Steve, there's something in your nose. There's also a package that I got from Amazon Prime. Here it is.
It was a middle
hey.
Finger.
It was a middle finger. You guys didn't see that.
A lot of birds fluttering right
yeah,
now.
There it is.
All right, well, let's get back to the old second half of this show.
Ooh, we better let Christian
so,
talk.
So, Christian,
yeah, Christian,
you have a little... it's not that big of a deal. No, it's a pretty big deal.
It's
you have
a
something
big
you'd like
fucking
to talk
deal.
About. And I think everybody who has listened to any episode of this podcast can figure out what it's going to be. So why don't you go ahead and take it away, buddy.
Goodell should be dead, right?
Goodell, he ain't safe no place. That's yeah. how I feel about it.
Christian, you're but, suspended for 3 weeks now, too. God, guys.
I should have remembered about the sponsors.
It's a dictatorship.
Let me just smash my phone and we'll be all good. No, here's how I feel about this. When the news first broke, because let's put it this way. This is a very, very calculated move by the NFL. So we find out, you know, about 30 minutes before the decision is released, that Brady smashed his phone or destroyed, had delegated an assistant to destroy it in some fashion. My initial reaction was, oh crap. Like, let's put it this way. I went through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief during this period, but completely out of order. So I started out with anger. Like, what the fuck, Brady? Why on earth would you break your phone? That's incredibly stupid. Two, depression. Oh my God, I've got to live with people talking about how Tom Brady's a
cheat. She's making an Elizabeth Kubler-Ross reference. Jesus,
I'm adding an edge of class. We've been talking about Ronda Rousey's looks off podcast. We got to go highbrow.
We're a next level podcast,
dude. We're the greatest podcast in existence because of that reference.
It's variety, yo. But okay, so then I was depressed because I realized that everybody's gonna be throwing Brady being a cheater in my face, and I gotta say, I believed it. And then I actually sat down and looked at the details because Brady issued a response as well. Here's what went down. At first, I totally thought Brady was a cheater. He got busted. He broke his phone like a freaking 16-year-old trying to hide his like party details from his parents.
Or like I broke my iPhone 2 weeks ago by accident.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Happened. That thing got but shattered. So I totally was in the Brady screwed up camp. This is unbelievable. I feel like crap and I feel guilty, you know? But then I read the details of the investigation and how it went down, and I read Brady's statement. Here's how it went down. Tom Brady and his legal team both discussed with the NFL before he met with the Wells investigation guys. It was very, very clear. The NFL was never getting Brady's phone. As a member of a player's union, as an employee of the NFL, as just a human being, he was under absolutely no obligation to give him his phone. He was willing to give him the text and the emails between him and the two guys in question. You know, the equipment manager and the guy who actually supposedly put the needle in the pump to the ball.
Yeah.
Right? The NFL had that all along. They actually got those guys' phones. Brady had absolutely no clue that not giving up the phone as asked was going to result in a suspension. I'm pretty sure if he'd been asked, he'd have given up the phone. But as it was, he was never getting the phone. They destroyed the phone, which apparently, according to Brady, and by the way, a bunch of sports agents who have commented on this, is a common practice for celebrities. They blow up their phones all the time. Because Tom Brady, like, I'll put this question to you guys. Tom Brady is probably the biggest name as far as celebrity in football.
Yep.
If you were TMZ or the National Enquirer, some dirtbag bunch of, you know, reporters, and you had an opportunity to get one football player's texts, I would say Tom Brady would be up there with Rob Gronkowski and Richard Sherman, as opposed to the most in demand. I couldn't come up with two names more than that.
If I worked for TMZ, it'd definitely be Tom Brady. Yeah, he's got the most star appeal of anybody.
Right, exactly.
In the NFL.
Between like, his marriage, yeah. Between his movie deals, between the celebrities he hangs out with, right?
Yep.
So there's a million reasons why people would want to sell his phone information, or give it out, or tweet it, or what, or leak it in some way, right?
Yeah.
He's also, by the way, the first player to actually be demanded by the NFL to give up his phone. He's under no legal or moral obligation to do so. They've already got the text between him and these other guys. That was made clear ages ago. He doesn't have to give up his phone. The NFL has a horrible track record. Why would you trust these dirtbags with your personal information? This was never, and this is what I'm realizing now, the more I think about this, the more I've read about this, this was never about deflated footballs. Is about the NFL's execution of absolute power. Tom Brady, they asked for his phone. Tom Brady says, you know what? I don't trust you with my personal details. So they slammed him. Mm-hmm. The initial Deflategate report was wrong. They said there were at least 11 balls that were more than 2 pounds per square inch deflated. That was wrong.
It was one, right?
It was one. The report was wrong. And the Patriots just released a bunch of emails talking about how they demand the NFL clear their names on that and make it clear that the initial report was wrong. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying the Patriots did nothing wrong. I don't know. The Patriots very well might have deflated balls under the limit deliberately. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I know that they're clear or that I know that they're dirty, period. But here's the thing. They're punishing Brady for not giving up the phone, and that's all there is to it. And Goodell upheld his own ruling to slam him, to send a message, because he's controlled by the owners. The owner of the Colts and the owner of the Ravens have been on his ass about this. And Goodell did exactly what they wanted him to do. This is a power play. They're trying to make an example of Brady. And I gotta say, before this, I really hated the idea of them going to court because I'm so sick of hearing about this. I think Brady's got legal justification for this.
Do you think it'll help that the court wants them to sort it out before the season?
Yes. Oh, listen, that everybody wants it to.
I mean, obviously, as a Colts fan, I
want it to get sorted.
I'll tell you this.
I don't
the only
this
person
shit.
Who I'm not pissed off at, because listen, I'm ticked at Brady for not being totally transparent. I wish he'd just gotten it over with. He had that horrible press conference. And there are no heroes here, let's be clear. Nobody did a good job.
Nope.
The one person who I love, though, is this Federal Circuit judge who's been asked to hear the case. Because basically his statement to the both parties is like, tone down the vitriol. Please try to settle this quickly. Let's get this over with. Which is lawyer speak for, I didn't go to law school for 3 years to deal with this garbage.
Exactly.
I'm a Federal Circuit judge. I deal with real criminal cases every day. I'm tired of you scrubs. By the way, this is the only person who has their head screwed on properly.
Correct. Yeah.
It's stupid. But the bottom line is, I do think that this was a witch hunt for Brady. And it's been completely pegged as such because the NFL needed to slam a big-name, high-profile player to keep the owners happy and to make it look like they're in charge. Everybody wanted the Patriots to be guilty. That's the bottom line.
Well, and Goodell also got crushed. I mean, not only did he get crushed with his initial rulings as far as suspending Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, but then he got crushed again because he didn't have... The courts ruled in favor of the NFLPA, and he didn't have the authority to do that.
Right.
So he, now that he's in a situation where he feels like he can uphold the suspension, he's going to, like you said, send a message to the rest of the NFL.
Right, let's not get this twisted. That nonsense about the VP issuing the suspension to Brady, that's garbage. That guy doesn't have any legal or even employee-based power to issue a penal punishment.
Yeah.
He just did what Goodell told him to. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And that's, by the way, the basis of the NFL Players Association's lawsuit on behalf of Brady, that this was a completely rigged trial from the beginning. It's just stupid. It's a miscarriage of justice. It's just, it's really, really dumb.
You know my feelings about it. I disagreed with the whole thing from the start. It stemmed from a game that my Colts got absolutely shit-pummeled. It didn't matter. He could have been, as I've said on this podcast before, he could have been throwing a helium balloon for all it matters. Patriots were winning that game if he had never thrown a pass.
Right.
It just irks me that we have to even be discussing this going into the 2015 season. Like,
right.
I'm so sick and tired of these media-based witch hunts. Because you said, like, that's the perfect way to put it. As you said, all it is really a witch hunt against, admittedly, a team that has had cheating tendencies in the past, albeit a decade ago.
Oh, no, listen, the Patriots aren't spotless, no question.
It's really just going after a guy with all you've got for a very flimsy reason to begin with, just to assert yourself after what was probably some of the worst disciplinary seasons the NFL has ever... disciplinary decisions the NFL has ever dealt with in the past year.
Right.
It irks me that we're still talking about it.
Yep.
It irks me that this is taking some of the focus away from training camp. It irks me that this will probably leak into the actual regular season. And it irks me that at the end of the day, if this suspension holds up, his first game back will be against the Colts.
Yep.
I don't want that. Yep. I don't understand why any of my fellow Colts fans are excited that Brady is suspended. Guys, guess what? You're fucking dumb. If you don't think that Brady is going to come out and absolutely smoke whoever he plays his first game back, then you do not understand Tom Brady or the game of football. Because he is going to come out with the biggest fucking chip on his shoulder of any NFL player, probably in history. And he's going to absolutely massacre.
I mean, that game is going to be huge. I will tell you this. Here's my thing, and you're going to appreciate this as a Colts fan, Tyler. I think that if this suspension holds and whatever circuit judge doesn't issue an injunction or anything, Which, by the way, I hope he doesn't. If he pushes it back, Brady could miss the last four games of the season of the first four, which is an idiot move.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think that if this suspension holds, that game, week six?
Yes.
Because they got a bye week. The Patriots have a bye week, yeah. That game will be the most anticipated regular season NFL game since 2007 when the Patriots and Colts played both undefeated.
Right.
I think that's it. I mean,
you're right.
Same stadium. I mean, it's just, it's going to be absolutely huge. And here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about this. It goes into training camp. It blots the NFL. And here's the thing. It really does have an impact on the rest of the league. The defending champs are going to play four games without the starting quarterback. I'm expecting us to come out of this 1-3. I mean, I think the Patriots beat the Jaguars because they're the freaking Jaguars. And I think we lose the other games. I think we lose the Steelers. I think we lose in Buffalo. I think we definitely lose to Dallas. I mean, no disrespect to Jimmy Garoppolo. I love you, Jimmy. I hope you pull some out for us. I don't think he's ready to lead us in those three big games. Those are three playoff teams that we're about to play.
But if anybody can guide him to it,
and two of them are on the road.
If anybody can guide him, though, Bill Belichick, I think.
I love Belichick.
And all the weapons are still there.
Not all of them. Our secondary's in shambles.
Well, I mean, he's still got Gronk to pass. He's got Edelman to pass to Amendola.
Our offense fine. But
I don't
even think...
Yeah, but a quarterback seeing his first action against three playoff teams in the first 4 weeks with a weak secondary, Christian's got a really good point. Like that's,
I don't like
that's
it.
A lot of analysts are saying 2-2, they beat Buffalo. I'm with you. I would say 1-3.
I say 1-3. I think Buffalo is going to be aching for this game, and it's going to be in Buffalo.
And what I don't think people are seeing, it, at least from the standpoint of at least other AFC East teams or my Colts, like I don't think we're understanding that if this stands and the Patriots go 1-3, even God forbid 0-4 somehow, and this causes them to miss the playoffs, there's a giant asterisk next to anyone
who comes out of the AFC.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't want... Right now, my Colts are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I don't like talking about that. I don't necessarily even completely agree with it. I don't want to say a word about it, and you will not hear me say a word about it until we're well into the season. But I don't want my Colts to be in that situation.
Right.
And then after the season ends, just play this what-if game with every goddamn NFL analyst ever. Well, what if Brady hadn't been suspended? What if Roger Goodell had made the right decision and not blah, 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 fucking blah? I don't want that.
Right.
Well, just as a fan in general, it sucks that we're going to be kicking the season off with Patriots Steelers and Brady's not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. That shit,
like, that just sucks. Like, could you imagine, like, I think I brought this up to you guys. Could you have imagined last year going into the opener and not getting the chance to see Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that's the whole reason why you schedule that.
That'd be like going into last year and Peyton Manning was suspended against the Colts or something like that. It's just not...
I mean,
it's not conducive to good football.
Right, it's horrible.
I mean, I work Thursday evenings anyways, but I don't know if I'd be... I mean, yeah, I would watch because it's the NFL opening season if I could watch. But I'm not asking...
Everyone's going to be starved for by Thursday. Absolutely. Everyone's still going to watch.
Which sucks because Goodell knows that. That's what really sucks about Goodell's whole situation. Like, the whole situation with Goodell is that he knows football's king. He knows right now he knows that they're going to watch under... whatever circumstances, no matter how pissed off we are at the NFL, at its players, at the way it conducts itself off the field, at its coaches for what they do, whether they're beating minors on a beach somewhere, we're still going to watch.
Yep. Yeah.
And eventually that will change, but it won't change anytime soon.
Right.
All right, we've got to move on. Christian, do you have any last thoughts?
No, it's just this whole thing makes me sad. Yep. That's all I got. That's the sum of all.
And you all know I could give two shits about the Patriots. I am not a Patriots fan, but at the end of the day, I don't think this is right, and I don't think any Colts fan who does think this is right is really looking at it clearly. And you might all hate me for that. I might get murdered when I go back to Indianapolis in a couple weeks, but the bottom line, this is wrong. This isn't how this 2015 season should start, and I, for one, hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
Respect. All right. Let's move on. To baseball.
To baseball. So last week, I said that I thought it was going to be Astros, Royals, ALCS. I didn't really see that going any other way.
What a hell of a lot has changed since last week.
I personally, well, when I brought this up at the beginning of the show prior to starting, I got a little bit of pushback for it. So I'm actually curious to hear any counter arguments that might be said. I now think that the Toronto Blue Jays have forced themselves into that conversation.
And why?
And I think that's because of their trade deadline magic. Troy Tulowitzki, that's one thing. They've already got the best offense in the AL. Bringing in David Price and another reliever sort of changes the dynamic of that team. Big okay. time. Because now every 4 days, or when we get to the postseason, it could be every 3 days, depending on what they want to do with Price, you got to deal with a Cy Young winner and a guy who has dealt with AL pitching before at an elite level in the AL East. So he's very familiar with a lot of the guys he's going to be facing in New York, in Baltimore. So, I don't know. That's what I felt. I felt like Toronto is very, very much a competitor now. I think they're a nightmare postseason matchup. But not everybody at this table feels that way. And I would like to hear why.
I want to ask you.
Sure.
You don't have to jump off the deep end if you don't want to.
Sure.
But do you think the Toronto Blue Jays will go to the World Series and not the Kansas City Royals?
Now there's a question.
Well, I would say right now, that is a very tough question.
I mean, we got a while to go.
I think I want to say yes, but I won't. And the reason why I won't is because the Royals bullpen is amazing, and that is still something that the Blue Jays lacks in. However, there is now not a single lineup offensively in baseball, in the AL. Now, I'm not going to say in baseball, but in the AL that can compete with the Royals better than the Blue Jays. Because now, you got Joey Batch, Josh Donaldson, Troy Tulowitzki, Russell Martin. That's the heart of that lineup. And you can bat Tulo leadoff. And And you're going to have to at some point, if they do meet each other in the ALCS, it's going to be a 7-game series. So at some point, you have to go to Rogers Center where the ball carries better because it's indoors and it's temp controlled and it's always going to be a perfect night for baseball. It's really, really tough to beat the Royals if you're already losing to the Royals after six innings. If you're losing to the Royals after six, it's going to be awfully hard to come back. That being said, I don't think there's a better offense that can jump on the Royals starting rotation, even with Johnny Cueto, more so than the Toronto Blue Jays. That is a lot of big bats. That is a heavily bolstered lineup. So no, I'm not going to say that yet. However, now I think I would take Toronto over I would take the Stros. Because now not only does Toronto have the bats and a solid ace, but Toronto also has something that I think is very invaluable, and we've seen it's been invaluable the past couple postseasons: experience. There's veteran leadership. There are guys that have been in the league a while.
Tulo is huge for that.
I completely agree.
For that offense,
and he's
no
in
question.
And he's already energized now just from playing on a contender. He went 6 of 17. I mean, in his debut, he went 3 for 5. He hit the longest home run we've seen this season. He blasted it like 460 feet, and then he smashed 2 doubles. I mean, he's totally re-energized going from Colorado, where they're a dumpster fire, to a perennial contender. They just moved ahead today against. They just moved ahead of the Twins today. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like all signs point to, unless somebody gets hurt, I feel like all signs point to a Royals, Blue Jays ALCS.
I'll definitely give you that.
But I don't.
Do the Blue Jays get the wild card, or do they pass the Yankees?
Oh no, the Blue Jays will get the Yankees are too far. I guess Toronto could go on a tear. I just feel like the Yankees are too far ahead.
Yeah.
Wild card. The only teams that they're competing for right now in the wild card, isn't it, like Baltimore and the Twins? And I'm sorry, I love the Minnesota Twins, but
we
can kiss this season goodbye
now. Let's
face
it, both the Blue Jays and the Yankees are going to the playoffs.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about that, just a question of how.
I just feel like right now the I feel like the Yankees have bolstered themselves a pretty sizable lead,
which is incredible considering they didn't do anything for the trade deadline.
Yeah, they had a
nothing. Absolutely.
Blue Jays did good. Even the Royals even grabbed help too, but the Yankees, they just sat on their hands.
Absolutely,
which is great.
Well, it wouldn't shock me to see the Jays go on a tear and at least make a run at it. But I mean, can somebody check? I can check. But how many games ahead are Toronto right now? In the standings, or how many games is Toronto behind?
I want to say six, but I could be wrong.
I mean, six isn't that much to make up, and then the last two months of the season, you end up playing your division teams a lot. So, yeah.
Here, I'll pull it up.
So now the other thing, you know, being in the NL,
yeah, just 5.5, and Orioles so right they could, Blue Jays.
So they could,
yeah.
I wouldn't shock me. I just, yeah.
All I know is my socks aren't getting in.
And it's a long shot, but kudos to my White Sox, man.
Starting to hit.
We're hitting. 3 games under .500. We just took the lead in the 7th against Tampa Bay tonight. And, interesting fact, we called up little-known Trace Thompson, also known as the younger brother of Klay Thompson of the Warriors.
Really?
Called him up today.
Klay Thompson's little bro plays baseball?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty awesome.
That's respect.
Interesting, right? Yeah. So yeah.
I mean, we have to kiss his brother.
It would
rings,
be a very long shot at this point, but I'm excited about the way my White Sox are hitting. So yeah. I'm never going to count them out. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's fun to at least entertain the idea when a week and a half ago we were 10 games under .500.
So,
and once upon a time in May, the Twins won 20 games. It's a long season, baseball.
And now Glenn Perkins has blown 4 saves.
4 saves in a row since the All-Star break. It has gone completely
pear-shaped.
It's been bad. But you know what? It's always nice when Terry Ryan and that front office of the Minnesota Twins can uncork their savvy and go pick up a journeyman reliever like Ryan Jepsen. Who the fuck is Ryan Jepsen?
I have no fucking idea.
Are you kidding me? You were leading the wild card race. You have no bullpen help at all, and you make no attempt to go make your team better at all in any capacity.
It is brutal.
Meanwhile, Steve Cravens is just praying that the Phillies don't overtake his Marlins.
Yeah,
he's like
he doesn't have to deal with with one of our friends talking shit.
Yeah. Becky,
no, I don't like no. There's certain people shit talking take, and some people I just
stop. Philly, man. Philly,
you gotta draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoy good shit talk every once in a while, but sometimes, man.
Yep.
All right, we're well over time. Let's go ahead and quickly finish. Steve, you had something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, man. How about Shaq bringing out the nuclear bomb on Scottie Pippen?
That
was not fair.
That's what I have to say about that.
I mean,
Shaq's dropping
hand grenades, as Steve.
Did I miss something? I know that Shaq...
You want the lineups?
Well, no. I know that has something changed since... Because I know Shaq brought up the fact that he thought the best all-time Lakers would beat the best all-time Bulls.
And I agree with
you. And...
No question about that, but Shaq pulled up some
But what's the bomb?
The bomb was that a Scottie Pippen replied saying, like, oh, all I know is that we won 6 rings. And I don't know what happened, but that must have really lit a fire under Shaq's ass, because he just took a massive shit on him on some podcast. He did, dude. Like, Shaq just unloaded, totally ripped, called him a bum.
He said that Scottie Pippen, when he played against him, wasn't even on the scouting report. It was Jordan, only Jordan. You know, that Scottie Pippen was just along for the ride. You know, the classic knock on Scottie Pippen.
And didn't he mention, like, his back injury, saying, like, you were out, like, for most of the finals in 98. Jordan was doing all the work, just taking a dump.
Which, by the way, is totally wrong. But, like, no, Shaq just went off on it. But the bottom line is, Shaq, with the starting fives that he drew up, it was completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, you were talking to me about
this. No, here's what the matchups were. He drew up the Bulls starting five as Derrick Rose, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Horace Grant playing the five, which, what? And then he had Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Elgin Baylor, Shaq, and Kareem. So he's got two centers playing against two fat power forwards, with the greatest point guard of all time getting them the ball.
Yeah, that's
so
super
by
unfair.
The way, so Shaq stacked the deck, which is totally stupid. Like, no way would Shaq and Kareem ever be on the same team. It's like put one of them out and put
but,
Worthy
but,
in.
But you even said it more so. There's no way whichever head coach you've got coaching the Bulls, whether it's, I mean,
yeah.
Phil Jackson of the Bulls.
It's like
Phil Jackson of the Lakers. I mean,
right,
I guess it's technically both
right,
be Phil.
Right, right.
But there's, you said it. There's no way you're putting Dennis Rodman or Horace Grant on Shaq. Like,
no matter
who's on Shaq's going to probably get dominated.
No.
Somebody's, but you're not doing that.
Somebody's sitting. I think it's probably Horace Grant because I go with Rodman for the rebounding of the defense. But
Horace Grant is definitely not in the starting five.
No, he's not. He's not. I mean, he was a great bowl
he
for
was.
The first three-peat, but no way.
No.
So he's out. I mean, I don't know. You put in either Cartwright or Longley.
I do Cartwright personally.
I'm with you on Cartwright over Longley. So, you know, you do that, you play that game, and cool. I mean, you know, I like the idea of Derrick Rose slashing through and trying to get Jordan the ball. But, listen, the bottom line is there's no competition as far as the all-time starting five. The only two teams that could ever win an all-time starting five discussion are the Lakers, who would probably win it all, or the Celtics. That's it. The Bulls, no five from the Bulls are beating the top five of the Lakers or the Celtics at all. The Lakers and Celtics just have more history. They got a much bigger pool to draw from. No, look at the Bulls team. Nobody for the Bulls played before 1984.
True.
You know? It's just dumb.
Jordan was 1 of 9 in the playoffs before Phil showed up.
Yes, he was.
Also true.
1 of 9?
Playoff victories.
One and nine. Really?
That was a stat that I read the other night.
Wait, series?
Right?
You mean?
He never won a single series. He only won one series before Phil.
That's definitely not true because he won.
No, because
well,
he became the coach in 80 in 90, and Jordan got to the Eastern Conference Finals in 89.
Yeah,
because
Jordan
so
hit that shot. Jordan hit the shot over Craig Elo
right.
of the Cavs.
And that was the semis.
Was Scottie Pippen there?
Yeah.
When he Scottie Pippen's
rookie season was
they said it was without Phil Jackson, without Scottie Pippen, that he was 1 of 9 or 1 of 9. 1 and 9, whatever.
Okay, fine. So when he was playing with dirtbags, he didn't win.
Like, no, but I don't know why. I don't know why that was brought up, but it was just an interesting thing to think about. Like when people say, "Oh, is Phil Jackson really the product of his players, or his players the product of Phil Jackson?"
It's
like,
both.
Oh.
It's mutual. I mean, it's the same as Brady and Belichick.
But yeah, Shaq.
Either
really
one
just,
had to resist the other.
Shaq was pretty ruthless. I mean, I read this last week, but man, he just tore Scottie Pippen. And I haven't read if Scottie Pippen's made a retort to his comments, but they were very, very
Well, let's put it this way. I'm with you. You're totally right. Like, here's what is a fact. Both Scottie Pippen and Shaq are petty as shit. They really are.
I was going to say,
Scottie Pippen whined all the time. He wouldn't go into the game against the Knicks in 94 when they drove the play for Kukoc. He whined about Barkley that 1 year he played against the Rockets. He was spoiled a brat when he played for Portland. Shaq's played on more teams than he has fingers. Like, it's ridiculous. Both these guys are a couple of prima donnas, and they're all about flaunting their legacy. Scottie Pippen the other day was talking about how LeBron was better than Jordan, for crying out loud.
Well, Scottie called himself LeBron.
Scottie's an idiot.
Like, Scottie deserved that.
Scottie Pippen
deserves to get shit
out
of him.
And look, so does Shaq. Shaq does too. Shaq was a prima donna. Shaq was a locker room cancer, everybody as much as Kobe. He whined while Kobe was on the Lakers too. And just because, you know, because Kobe went through his legal problem, everybody blamed the split up on Kobe. You know what? Kobe's got more rings than Shaq, and that's why Shaq hates the rings argument.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. I'm sorry, I got little time for either of those guys. Both of them are complete dirtbags as far as when they retired, they whined about everything.
How do you really feel?
That's how I feel.
Okay, good.
I'm emotional.
I'm
about
just
this.
All right, kids.
You made me talk about Deflategate. No emotional.
I know.
All right, guys.
It's
very
sexy.
Let's finish up. I just want to spend 90 seconds, Christian. Let's talk about the Community Shield yesterday.
Woo!
My
now I'm in a better mood.
My Arsenal, my Arsenal Gunners.
Come on, you
for
Gunners.
For the second year in a row, have retained the Community Shield. This time, taking out Chelsea.
Yep.
In a 1-0 victory, thanks to Mr. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain early on
Alex,
in the game.
Yo.
Shout out.
Oh, we're clapping. Oh, cool.
Good for the Ox.
Soccer.
I mean, there's so much to like about this.
I am so excited for this season to come. I love that Petr Cech was on the field.
Yep. For his debut. Think about this.
His
debut as a gunner
against his
goalkeeper
former squad
was registering a clean sheet against Chelsea.
Just, oh, it makes me so fucking happy.
As great as that is, let's keep it real. The reason we love this the most was that Arsene Wenger finally got the W
yes!
against Jose Dirtbag Mourinho.
and just walked right past him.
Yeah, for our viewers who I'm sure there's like maybe one or two people tops who know what we're talking about here.
Yes.
You got zero viewers, bro.
Fuck you, bro.
Shut up, Craig.
You got listeners, man.
Okay.
Fans, friends, valued comrades. Anyway, Arsene Wenger, the head coach of Arsenal, and Jose Mourinho, the head coach of Chelsea, hate each other's guts. They've gotten into a shoving match before. Jose Mourinho called Arsene Wenger an expert in mediocrity. Arsene Wenger has never beaten him before in 13 matchups.
Yep.
This is the 14th. Wenger finally got the win. And as Arsenal was coming down with their trophy and their medals, Jose Mourinho stood there at the foot of the stairs of these bleachers. You know, in soccer, you climb up the bleachers to get your trophy. And he shook the hands of all the Arsenal players. And just as Wenger got to the bottom, Wenger walked behind Mourinho's back. Because as me and Tyler, and backing up on this dude, both know Jose Mourinho was not going to shake Arsene Wenger's hand. So Arsene Wenger
is one of the worst losers in the Barclays Premier League history.
And he's a bad winner, too.
He's a bad winner also.
He's an arrogant piece of crap.
He's a piece of shit. I am so happy that he lost. I am so happy that he lost to his former goalie. And I for one, cannot wait for this season. All signs are pointing up for Arsenal.
Yep.
We just re-signed Santi Cazorla. We just re-signed Theo Walcott.
I think Alexis Sanchez is ready to blow up. We got Petracek, you know, grade A goalie going to go. Like, yeah, I think this is the Gunners' year, man, and they're hungry.
I'm so beyond excited. I'm so excited for Olivier Giroud to have a resurgence this season. I'm so excited for Santi to have...
Yep.
Another good year. Alexi Sanchez is a goddamn monster.
Oh, yeah. I hope we see Chelsea in not just the two matchups we got during the Premier. I hope we see them in the FA and the Champions League. I hope we whoop them four times this year.
I want it all. I want Chelsea as much as possible, and I just want just all up in their asses. Just all up in their
asses. Because it's not about Man U. Liverpool's down. It's just about Arsenal and Chelsea.
That's all what it is.
I'm going on record now. I will be shocked if anyone other than Arsenal or Chelsea wins the Premier League. Shocked.
Unless there's some crazy move that happens in the next 3 weeks during this transfer window, I can't see it.
Bale or something weird.
I don't know, Liverpool gets like Thomas Mueller or... Stefan El-Shaarawy or
I can't
some
stand
crazy
seeing Moeller in Anfield. That would suck. I want him at Bayern. I love Bayern.
I'm still holding out hope that Arsenal picks up Stefan El-Shaarawy.
That would be amazing. That would be game set match, honestly, to me.
Did we just lose all our listeners? I'm pretty sure we lost all our listeners.
The Premier League. It's on NBC now.
Yes, it is. Oh, can't wait. No more Fox Sports, Fox Soccer Channel bullshit.
It's better than MLS. It's better than NWSL. Though, NWSL, by the way, Carly Lloyd still hasn't not scored a goal in a game since the World Cup, incredible.
She's the best. I'd take her on the Arsenal men's team.
I'd love that.
That'd be awesome.
Arsenal could use an attacking mid. That'd be great.
We got Jack Wilshere.
No, he's great, but another one? That'd be huge.
Yeah.
We go like 4-5-1.
Well, not only have we lost all the listeners, but we've lost Drew and Steve, and even my girlfriend is rolling her eyes. So, let's get the hell out of here, guys.
Yep.
117, an hour and 17 minutes ago, I said that this might be the sexiest episode ever. I'm pretty sure that it was. Pretty sure we held up to our end of the bargain, guys.
I think it met all expectations.
We did
talk about Ronda Rousey.
We spent the first 25 minutes talking about Ronda Rousey.
We did.
Boom.
We did.
So,
check.
Four. Gianna Michaels' muse, Steve Cravens.
Thanks for listening. Stay classy.
Four. Carly Lloyd's biggest supporter, Christian Schneider.
Marry me, Carly.
Four. The guy who called Ronda Rousey a dime, Drew Willers.
She is a dime. Football's almost here, thank God.
Yeah, babe.
I'm not concerned with any females except my girlfriend. I'm more concerned with Arsenal. Let's go, Gunners.
Come on, you Gunners.
Yeah, Gunners.
This has been episode 27 of the 51-Yard Line. We will see you all next week.